Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Zayin. Elisha left off yesterday, four lines from the top of the page. On Daf, Nun Zayin Amar Aleph at Vichy Davar, the last two words on the line on Nun Zayin Amar Aleph. I thank Elisha very much for giving the shiur the past 2 days while I was away. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also by Chaim Weinstein on the occasion of his father's 53rd yard site, Mordechai Menachem Ben Yaakov Lipa HaKohen, Olav HaShalom, and Shama Shem Aliyah. Also by Rav Tzvi Sabalovsky Shlita's Shul Congregation Or HaTorah in honor of the launch of their 48-hour building fund campaign, which is ongoing right now. I think it ends at 8 o'clock tonight, and they're doing very well, Baruch Hashem. I assume it's all because of us. But, you know, the Daf Yomi Shiur. No, they're doing very, very well, and everyone should try to contribute to Rav Sabalovsky's amazing Harbatzas HaTorah, charity.com/Or HaTorah. Also by Mendy Weissman in honor of the yard site of his mother, Miriam Weissman, Miriam Bas Schner Zalman. Allah Shalom, whose yard site is Tuesday. Also by Karen and Marky Benson, commemorating the 6th yard site of Karen's father, Marty Foreman, Betzal Mordechai Ben David Yitzchak Halevi Zichron Levracha, whose yard site is today, the 27th of Sivan. And also by Debbie and Glenn Pfeiffer, in memory of Debbie's father, Aaron Avigdor Ben Yosef HaKohen, whose yard site is today. Each of these neshamas should have an aliyah, and we thank all of the sponsors very much for these sponsorships. So we're in the middle of discussing how we know that the number of matnos dam that they would do with the dam apar and with the dam asoyer bifnim, and with the dam apar and dam asoyer pachut. So the Gemara is going to start by discussing, well, isn't there a rule by hekdish that you're not allowed to learn something from a double hekish? That if you make a hekish from A to B, you then cannot make a hekish from B to C? And aren't we invited of that in the Seder Halimudim that we made in order to learn the Matanos of Dam? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether the Dam ever touches the Parochas. When they sprinkled the Dam by the Parochas, was it Mamish on the Parochas? And there's going to be some eyewitness accounts of whether there was Dam on the Parochas or not. And then the Gemara is going to discuss, the majority of the Daf discusses, what happens if the Dam Apar and Dam Asayir get mixed together? So now you have to put Matnos Dam for the Dam Apar, Matnos Dam for the Dam Asayir, but they're all mixed together. So how does one handle that situation? And we're going to discuss where do they get mixed together at different stages of the process, after you did some of the matnos dam and not all of the matnos dam. And then at the very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether blood is mixed before placing on the karnos hamizbeach. When they would put the dam on the karnos hamizbeach, would they dafka mix it together before placing the dam on the karnos hamizbeach? So let's begin again. Nun zayin amid aleph, four lines from the top of the page. So we're going to explain the idea of the number of hazaos that they would do lefnim and the number of hazaos they would do bechutz was all derived from the hekish, because the Torah didn't tell us all of these numbers, only some of these numbers. Could that which is itself derived from a hekish go and teach through a hekish? Meaning the idea of doing one hazal lemaila bifnim of the dam apar is only learned from the idea that the fact that the Torah says you do one hazal lemaila bifnim by the dam asayir. The sheva hazos lemata of the dam asayir is only learned from the fact that the Torah says explicitly by the dam apar that you do sheva hazos lemata. And now I'm going to say from v'chein yasa li'ol moed that the same number of hazos that we do lefnim is also going to be done b'chutz. But with each, the dam apar and the dam asayir, isn't that a double hekish? Because even the number of matnos dam that I do bifnim, half of those matnos dam are only learned from a hekish. So says Gemara, hi heimenu v'davarach ruvelav hekish. Answer number one: the idea that the hekish from the par to the sayir, from the sayir to the par, as far as what goes on bifnim, is an example of heimenu v'davaracher, meaning part of it is learned from a hekish and part of it is not learned from a hekish, because of the dam apar and by both the par and the sayir, it says that you need hazos lemaila and hazos lemata. It's just the hekish tells me how many. The Torah was not explicit by both of them about how many hazaos, but the Torah was explicit that you require hazaos, and therefore that's not considered a hekish. On the initial stage of what you need bifnim, how many matnos dam you need bifnim, that's not considered a hekish. That's just like a gilui milsa, because the Torah already told me I need hazaos, and then we only have one hekish to tell me what's done on the outside. So says the Gemara, yeah, hadni chalamandi amar lo avi hekish. Whether that's considered a hekish or not is actually subject to a machlokas Tanayim in Mesechus Zvachim on Daf Nun Zayin. We have Machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. If that which is learned Heimenu V'Davar Acher is considered to be Lamad Me Hekish. So if you're going to assume that that's not considered a Hekish, like Shitas Rabbi Akiva, then then your answer works. But if you assume like Shitas Rabbi Yishmael that it is considered a hekish, so then if you already learned only the number of matnos dam bifnim through a hekish, how can you then turn around and learn the matnos, number of matnos dam bechutz through a hekish? So answer Gemara's second answer. It's not considered a hekish that's derived from another hekish, because in the first hekish we compare the behemos to each other. That va'asa is domo kasher asa ledama par. That we do with the dama sayir exactly what we did with the dama par. The second hekish, we're not comparing any other animal to the par or to the sayir to learn from it through a hekish. All we're comparing are mekomos. We're comparing different places to each other, the Heichal to the Kodesh, because it says V'chein Yaseh La'ol Moed. So the Kodesh itself is wasn't derived originally through a Hekesh. The fact that I do Matnos Dam in the Kodesh, that's not through a Hekesh, that's Beferish in the Pasuk. Oh, it's how many Matnos Dam I do with the Par, how many Matnos Dam I do with the Sayer. That's a Hekesh of animals to each other. But the fact that that a particular location was used for Matnos Dam, that's Beferish in the Pasuk when it comes to the Kodesh. And now it's only a single Hekish to tell me a different makom also has these matnos dam, and that's therefore not considered a double hekish, because the two hekishim are not on the same topic. One is to equate the animals with each other, and the second is to equate the spaces with each other, the places to each other. A third possible answer, iba yisema chutz mibifnim b'chadazim negamer. It could be that the azals that you do on the parochas in the Heichal are being derived from the azals that you do in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even if you assume that Pnim itself is only derived from a Hekish, but since we're learning it Pebas Achas, the azals that you do beHeichal from the azals that you do Bifnim, and included in that are those that are written Beferish Bifnim, meaning the Torah does tell me Beferish that you do Achas Lemaila Besair and Sheva Lemata Bepar. So what am I learning? I'm learning Achas Lemaila Besair, but that's only one hekesh, because the Torah said that first. I'm also learning Sheva Lamata Besayer Nachas Lamala Bepar. That I only knew from a hekesh. But since in the entire package of what I'm learning to Bachutz includes halachos that are both derived from a hekesh and halachos that are beferish in the pasuk and are not derived from a hekesh, so that's fair game. That's okay. Then you can have a double hekesh if at least part of the dinim or some of the dinim are not derived from a double hekesh but are actually mefurish bekra, which is certainly the case over here. So those are the three approaches. Again, the Gemara's basic question was, how can I learn a double hekesh? So answer number one was, it's not really a double hekesh because it's a menu v'davaracher, and that's not considered a hekesh. The Gemara said, yeah, but that doesn't work according to all Tanaim. Second answer is that one hekesh was about the animals, the other was about the spaces, the places. And the third answer is that since the second hekesh derives some halachos from that which is mefurish b'kra and others from that which is behekish, that's not considered a double hekish. So now the Gemara moves on to another topic. So Tanuk, shumaze ina maza ala parochas, ala k'neged aparochas. When we're sprinkling the dam, when the Kohen is sprinkling the dam in the heichal, he doesn't actually sprinkle it on the curtain that divides the heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He does k'neged aparochas, in the vicinity of, right near the parochas, corresponding to the parochas, but the dam doesn't actually touch the parochas. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Lozer Rav Yossi, Ani re'isiha b'romi. I saw the parochas. I was in Rome, and I actually saw the parochas. V'hayu aleha kama tipe damim shal par and sar shal yom kippurim. Don't tell me they didn't sprinkle the dam of the par and the sar on the parochas. I saw the parochas, and it had dam of par and sar kama tipe damim from yom kippurim that were clearly on it. In what context did Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi get to see the parochas? So this is a Gemara in Mi'ila and Daf Yud Zayinam Beis, where the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi traveled to Rome in order to be mevatel gzeros against the Jewish people, and a certain shade came to greet them. His name was Tamalion, and he wanted to help them be mevatel gzera. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, "No problem, you can help us all you want, even though it's all you day shade." And Tamalion went to Rome in advance of them. He was their scout team, and Tamalion entered into the body of the Bas HaKesar, of the daughter of the Kesar, and she went meshuga, and she started started screaming out, and then they called Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and she started screaming, "Bring me Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai! Bring me Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai!" And when he came to Rome, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came and was mitzaveh this demon to leave her body. So he was the hero. He got the demon out of her body, and the Kesar said, "You can go into my treasury, you can go into the Beis Kenazi, and take whatever you want as your reward." And they didn't want to take anything from there, but what they did is they ripped up all the gzeros against Klal Yisrael. That's where they kept the gzeros, the royal edicts, the decrees, and they ripped up all of these decrees. And that's where, in that context, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi saw the Klei HaMikdash that were there, that were taken by the Romans during the Chorban HaBayis. That's how Rashi fills us in on the story that appears in Maseches Me'ila. In the Marsham, he makes the point, how could it be that there were Kama Tipe Damim that remained on the Paroches? There's a Chiv to be Mechabes the Dam Chatas that sprinkles on the Beged. That's the Sugin Zvachim also in Dachsadi Gimel, that if Dam Chatas sprinkles on the Beged, you have a Din Kibus. So how did they allow the Paroches to not be Mechubas? So he suggests that Dam that's Nitas al Beged is that as a fulfillment of a mitzvah of Hazza'ah would not require Kibus. Meaning if some blood falls, sprinkles, stains a Beged, yeah, then you have a Din of Kibus. But if you were doing it on purpose and that was the mitzvah of Hazza'ah, then you don't need to wash it off. So he says, eyewitness account. Don't tell me that they didn't sprinkle on the Paroches. I saw the Paroches. Says Amar, you saw blood on the Paroches. Were you able to identify which carbon that blood was from? Maybe that dam was from the Paralim Davar and Siri Avodazara, where the dam is also supposed to be placed on the Paroches. And therefore, you don't have a raya that in Yom Kippurim they put the dam on the Paroches. The Gevurah Sarvi points out, what do you mean? How could you get confused between them? By those karbonos, you only need sheva hazaos. By Yom Kippurim, you need shmona hazaos. So just count how many spots of blood there were. If there were seven, then yeah, it was these karbonos. If it was eight, though, then it was the karbonos of Yom Kippurim. So says the Gevurah Sarvi, it could be that it was Shal Yom HaKippurim and you only saw seven because one of them dried up and fell off, right? One of them is no longer there. So answers Gemara, the Chazad Davidi Kesidron. But you could see by the pattern that it made, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi saw that the Tipe Dam were in a direct row. So it must be that that's the Dam of the Par in the Sar Shal Yom HaKippurim, because that's where the Halacha is, Kematzlif, that you're supposed to make it in a line, one sprinkling below the other. By the Par Elam Davar Shal Tzibur, there was no such din of doing it k'seder hazeh. Why not? So the Meiri writes, because it's all about distance. By the Dam HaPar and Sar Shal Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen was right next to the Paroches, and therefore he can arrange the Hazaos however he wants. But by the Par HaMdav Shal Tzibur and Siri Chataos, he was at a distance. He was Michutz L'Mizbeach HaZahav, so he's not able to be Mesadda the Hazaos as much as his aim can't be that good. Right? I mean, you go dart throwing, it takes a great level of expertise to get him directly in a line. You just hope to hit the board. So the Kohen is being Zorik the Dam from a distance. He's not going to be able to get it exactly in a line. You're right next to it. You can get it in a straight line. So now, says Maru Tzmanami, we have a similar discussion, Gavi Paralim Dover Shal Tzibur Ke Gavna, when it comes to the flip side, by the Paralim Dover Shal Tzibur, where the Mishnah says, Kshum Mazeh Lo Yenogin B'Parochas, that when they would actually sprinkle the Dam of the Paralim Dover Shal Tzibur, it didn't actually touch the Parochas. But Vim Nagu Nagu, but if they did, then it tells us it's not puzzle. It's okay if it touches. I'm Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi Anibri. You see a Baromi. So Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi says, eyewitness account. I saw it in Rome. And I saw that there were sprinkles of blood of the Param Dovah Shal Tzibur and Sirev Al-Dazara on the Parochas. So don't tell me you're not supposed to touch the Parochas. You see that they were allowed to touch it. Or maybe it's a Raya that it's not puzzle if it touches. But whether it's supposed to touch or not, I don't know. But you see that it did touch. So you see that it was okay. So says Mar Vidilma, the Par Vissar Shal Mekipur. How are you able to identify that the tipos of dam that you saw were from the Param Dovah Shal Tzibur? Maybe the tipos of dam that you saw were from the Karbanos of Yom Kippur. So he said, no, the Chazim Davidi Shalo Kesidron, because I saw that the dam was not in order, it was not in a straight line, and therefore I knew that clearly it was not from the Karbanos of Yom Kippur. The Achronim point out this is not a stira in what the story was. meaning probably he went in and he saw some spots where the blood was in a straight line and some spots where the blood was all over the place. So he saw both. So he was able to tell us that that both of them are supposed to touch the parochas. And that was his eyewitness account. Okay, so now says the Gemara, the rest of the daf pretty much going to deal with a tarovis of dam, meaning we discussed how you do the hazaos of the dam apar and the dam asayir. What happens though if the dam apar and the dam asayir gets mixed together? Nisavrilo damim bedamim. If the dam apar gets mixed in with the dam asayir before you were ever able to do the hazaah bifnim, samarav no sinachas amal v'sheva lamata. Well, lekan. You just saved yourself some time. You could just do one lamayla sheva lamata, and now you did both the dam apar achas amal v'sheva lamata and the dam asayir achas amal v'sheva lamata. So it's great. So you don't have to do it again. So Amruah Kamed Rabbi Yirmiya, they said over this teaching of Rava in front of Rabbi Yirmiya, Amar Bavloi Tivshoi Mishum the Dairi Ba'ar the Chashucha Mishmait the Machashchan. These foolish Babylonians, they live in a dark land. Bavel is in a valley, so it gets dark early. So they said the sunlight doesn't have directed unless it's directly overhead. So because they live in this dark land, they say things that are very dark, that are not correct. Because Hakayav Lemaila Desar Mekame Mata Depar. If you're going to just count it as both at the same time, it will turn out that your Nesinas Dam Lemaila of the Sayer comes before you ever put the Dam Lemata of the Par. So what? The Torah Amr V'chila Mikapar Sakodesh. The Torah says that you should not do that which is supposed to come later before you finish that which is supposed to come earlier. So Kale Dam Apar, we darsh from the pasuk, finish off all the Azaos of the Dam Apar, and then Vach. And only then can you finish off the Dama Sa'ir. So in the way that Rava said it, you're being mazad ha'za'a of the Sa'ir before you finished off the Dama Par, because you're doing them both simultaneously. Ella Amar Yirmiya no sinachas amayla v'sheva lamata l'shem hapar v'chazav no sinachas amayla v'sheva lamata l'shem ha'sa'ir. That even though you know you have a mixture of the blood, first sprinkle achas amayla v'sheva lamata l'shem the par. Have in mind that you're only doing it for the par, and then repeat, do it again, but this time l'shem the dam ha'sa'ir that's mixed in. So a number of things over here. First of all, this idea that the Bavel is in this dark land and they don't know how to learn as well in Bavel as they do in Eretz Yisrael. This is a Sugya and Ksubas. In Ksubas Tavayin Hei, Rabbi Yirmiya went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and Rava said about Rabbi Yirmiya after Abaye comments that one Ben Eretz Yisrael is considered like two Bnei Bavel, he's twice as good as Bnei Bavel. He says, Echad Meitanu, Abaye, the Gemara tells us that Rava said about Rabbi Yirmiya, one of the Bnei Bavel who goes to Eretz Yisrael is Chashuv like two of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Because Kol Zman, that Rabbi Yirmiya was in Bavel, he didn't know. He didn't fully understand the Divrei Chachamim, but once he went to Eretz Yisrael, he would say about us that we're Bavloi Tibshai, Rava said. So it must be that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you feel like your learning improves drastically, and that's why once Rabbi Yirmiya, who used to be in Bavel, went to Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden he can refer to the Bnei Bavel as Bavloi Tibshai. It's such an improvement in the learning. So is that true always, that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael is so much stronger in learning than the Bnei Bavel? So the Ritva writes in the name of Chuvas HaRambam that it wasn't throughout history that it was that way, that the Torah Chachmei Bavel was inferior to the Torah Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. That's in the times of Rabbi Yirmiya. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Chavdal tells us b'mechashkim hoshiveni kimesei olam zeh Talmud Bavli. And in the times of Rabbi Zeira, that he fasted when he went to Eretz Yisrael in order that he should forget all of the learning that he did in Bavel, because apparently during those times there were terrible gzeiros of Shmad in Bavel, so it was very difficult for them to learn in Bavel. But ultimately the Torah in Bavel became stronger. Ultimately the people in the Torah in Bavel, and that's why we stick with Talmud Bavli over Talmud Yerushalmi. At some point the balance of power shifted in terms of Chachmas HaTorah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. The Netziv in the Sakdama to the Perish on the Sheiltos says that the nature of the Torah is different. That in Bavel, it's like feeling around in the darkness. If you put a person in a dark room and he's not able to see, so he has to feel around where everything is, he'll have much more of a sense of detail of what's in the room than if a person just walks into a light room and he just sees everything. I mean, if I have to come and get something from this room and it's all the way on the front table and I walk in the back and it's pitch dark in here, I can't see anything, so I'm going to have to feel around. And at the end of the day, I'll probably be able to tell you how many tables there were, how many boxes box of tissues there were, how many of the, well, there's a lot of the sanitizer, how many sanitizers, hand sanitizer things are left over from COVID or whatever. So I'll be able to tell you, you know, how many of the, because I will have stumbled across all of them. But if it's broad daylight, I walk right in, I'll be able to walk right in, get what I want and leave, and then I won't have as much of a sense of the needs and sieves, of what the room is. So then Siv says in Bavel it's darkness. They have to feel around a lot, and that's why from one mission to the next mission you'll have like 10 blot of Gemara just trying this and that and that. In Eretz Yisrael it's broad daylight. In Eretz Yisrael you walk right in and there's the Siyata D'Shemaya and you're learning, you're able to see things clearly, but because of that you don't get the full sense of all of the detail that you're surrounded by. So that's why, says the Netziv, the Gemara says that one of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael is that one of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael is considered twice as good as the Bnei Bavel because he has such greater clarity. But if someone is trained in the ways of Bavel and he knows how to go through a sugya like they do in Bavel, and then you throw in the Siyata D'Shemaya that you have in Eretz Yisrael on top of that, oh, that's twice as good as even the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So that's just a little bit about the difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Another important point over here, Tosi Shun writes that the Gemara only asks about the fact that we're makdim hazos of the sa'ir to the hazos of the par, not the fact that you're mazah the dama sa'ir and the dama par together. The Torah says you're supposed to be makdim the dama par to the dama sa'ir. Why doesn't the Gemara say, but you're doing it at the same time, and that's the problem? The Gemara says, no, the problem is you're doing some of the dama sa'ir before the dama par. Forget about that. If you do it at the same time, it's a problem, because isn't there a halacha that the dama sa'ir has to come after the dama par, that at the same time it's not going to be good enough? So the Avnei Nezer writes in the Tshuva, Aruch Chaim, Sim Reish Nun Gimel, you see from here that when the Torah says to be makdim davar lechavera, one thing before the other, if you do them both at the same time, it's not going to be ma'akev. It's only if you do the one that's supposed to come later, earlier, only then is it going to be a problem. Only then is it ma'akev. But if you do them simultaneous to each other, then it's not going to be ma'akev. So that's a discussion. Is that always the case? So Avnei Nezer points out that in our sugya, it sounds that way, right? Whereas when it comes to tkiya shofar, if you hear shofar from nine people at the same time, each one guy blew tkiya, the other one a shmarim, the other one tkiya, trua, tkiya. So you heard all the right sounds, right? You heard all the right sounds, but all at the same time from nine different people. So Tosas writes in Rosh Hashanah, Daflam Dalin and Beis, that it's possible because you didn't hear them lefia seder. So it sounds like that something that has to be done lefia seder, and you do bebas achas, is not considered that you did lefia seder. That's against what we're saying over here. We're saying no, bebas achas, that would be that it's not considered that you were it would not be considered that you did shalom ala seder when you do bebas achas. Our problem over here is that you did some of the dama sa'ir before some of the dama par. So which is it when you do it all at the same time? Is that called kefia seder or is that not called Kafiyah Seder? So the Avnei Nezer says you have to make a chiluk. That's something that's talui in a particular order. If you do two things at the same time, it's considered that each of them is done after the second one, meaning that after the other one. When you do both at the same time, both are the second, meaning it's as if each one was done after the other one. Sometimes that's okay, sometimes that's not okay. If you're Mekadesh Shnei Achios, two sisters at the same time, not okay. Why? Because it's as if each one is the second of the two sisters. And you can't be Mekadesh Achos Ishto, you can't be Mekadesh someone who's your sister's wife. So it's Talu in each case. So where the whole Indian of the Seder is that one of them has to be done after the other one. So if you do a Pebas Achas, good, you did each one after the other one. And that's in our sugya, that there's no chisaron of doing it shalom kisidron by being mazad the dama par and dama sayir Pebas Achas, because the din of the seder is to be mazad the dama sayir after the dama par. So it's considered that as if you mazad the dama sayir after the dama par. And when you eat matzah and maror, for example, bas achas, we don't passel because you need to eat the maror after the matzah, because you did. Each one is eaten after the other one. The whole din of seder is only to eat the maror after the matzah. When you eat bas achas, you in fact ate the maror after the matzah. When it comes to tkiah shofar, the din is not to hear a shvarim after the tkiah and the last tkiah after the shvarim. The din of the seder is to hear the tkios kiseder azeh, that one tkiah at the beginning has to be precede everything, and that didn't precede everything, because it was bebas achas, that there's a din in that which has to precede, that which has to come earlier. So that's how the Avnei Nezer suggests, that sometimes when it's all bebas achas, it's okay, and sometimes when it's all bebas achas, it's dafka not okay, when it's all bebas achas. There's another discussion, another important discussion over here in the Achronim, and that is... The other discussion that the poskim have over here is what about Bal Tosif, right? So what was Rabbi Yirmiyah's suggestion? That you should do achas amal v'shev l'mat l'shem par, and then again l'shem sa'ir. So Tosif Shanim raises a question. So why is that not a violation of Bal Tosif? So he says, since you're only doing it misafek, it's not considered an iser of Bal Tosif. So the Ritva points out the same thing. That it's not an issur bal tosif when you do when you're doing to be motzi yidei safek, and therefore he says if a person is not sure, there's a machlokas whether he's supposed to put on tefillin on chol hamoed. If you hold that chol hamoed is lav zman tefillin, but putting on tefillin on chol hamoed is not a violation of bal tosif because you're trying to be yotzei safek, and whenever you're trying to be yotzei safek, it's not going to be a violation of bal tosif, and that's what the Ritva writes in Masecha Sukkah when it comes to the tkios that we blow in Rosh Hashanah, mi safek. Why isn't it bal tosif? I'm blowing extra tkios because it's safek. Because of the safek, I'm doing it. So since it's a safek, it's not going to be bal tosif. Shilta Giborim in Masech Rosh Hashanah, the fourth parak, quotes from the Riaz that we're tokeh b'shofar on Yom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, and we eat in chutzlarts, we eat matzah in chutzlarts on the second night of Pesach, because you're only doing mishum safek. Whenever you do something mishum safek, it's not going to be a violation of bal tosif. However, the Torah writes that those who put on two pairs of tefillin, one shall Rashi and one shall Rabbi Natam, it's not bal tosif because it's only bal tosif if you have five batim in your tefillin, but two pairs of tefillin, you're not over. So the stipler asked the question, without that anyway, it's not bal tosif, because you're only doing a machma safik. You're only doing it because you don't know which one is correct. So automatically, it's not going to be bal tosif. So the Stechemet points out that it could be that the Torah holds that even when you're trying to be yotzei misafek, it is bal tosif, that this is actually machlokas rishonim. When you do something to be yotzei asafek, but you're doing, you're risking bal tosif. So maybe that taka would be bal tosif. So that's a discussion the poskim have in the Tshuvas Betzala Chachmar, Betzala Stern, and Chelik Dalit, Simukuf Samachay discusses what if you're living in a place, you're renting a home for more than 30 days. So the halacha is when you rent a home in Eretz Yisrael, even for less than 30 days, it's chayv mezuzah. When you rent a home in Chutz La'aretz, it's only chayv mezuzah if you're there for more than 30 days. When you buy a home, a lot of people don't realize this, when you buy a home, you're chayv mezuzah right away. A lot of times people move into the neighborhood, they'll give me a call, I need help figuring out the mezuzahs, but don't worry, I just moved in last week, I still have 3 weeks. No, let me come over right away. We have to figure out right away, because when you buy a home, you're chayv mezuzah right away. But when you rent a home in Chutz La'aretz, you have 30 days. So let's say you rent a home in Chutz La'aretz, and there are mezuzahs there. Whoever was there last left the mezuzahs. It's not yours, you're only renting the home, so you can't just take them down and put up your own mezuzahs. But you're looking at these mezuzahs, they're like teeny tiny, you know, the chances that these mezuzahs are kosher are not very great, so you want to put up your own mezuzahs. So the Rabbi Tzal Stern raises the question, but is that a risk of bal tosif to go and put up your own mezuzahs? So he says it's not, because you're doing it to be yotzei safek, and that's what he quotes from the Sefer Darkei Chaim V'Shalom. The Munkacher says when the Minchas Aluzer would travel and he would stay by what he calls Kale Hadas, people who were not so medaktic on mitzvos, and they had mezuzahs that he thought were probably possible, so he would bring his own mezuzah if he was staying there for 130 days, and he would have put up a mezuzah. There is a discussion in the Achronim, what if you have a room where the suffix is which side the mezuzah goes on? Which side is the right side, meaning which way is considered going in and out? You have a discussion, let's say, for example, by walk-in closets, right? So if you have a walk-in closet that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, if it's 4 amos by 4 amos, you know, you have 8 feet by 8 feet, which is berevach, 4 amos by 4 amos, then there's no shayla. You put it on the right side going into the closet. But let's say it's not 4 amos by 4 amos. So now you have a three-way machlokas. Pashtus is, it's a room that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, doesn't require a mezuzah. However, there is a Chamudei Daniel that the Pischei Tshuva quotes, where Pischei Tshuva, a friend of mine just wrote a sefer called Chamudei Daniel, not the same Chamudei Daniel, but if there's a Pischei Tshuva quotes that if the walk-in closet is used for what it's supposed to be used for, and meaning it's a fully functional walk-in closet, so then even if it's less than 4 by 4 amos, it requires a mezuzah on the right side going into the closet. And Rabbi Kiveger says, no, it doesn't require on the right side going into the closet. It's not a room. It's less than 4x4 amos. But when you go from the walk-in closet into the bedroom, so that's a real doorway into the bedroom. So it should go on the right side going out of the walk-in closet. So some people can say, maybe you should be Yotze all deos and put on both sides, on the right side and the left side, so that just in case, so you could be Yotze both deos. So that's the discussion. Do you ever do such a thing? Would you ever put a mezuzah on the right side and left side? There's a Chuvus Maram Shik in Yordea, Sim Resh Pei Zayin, who says you should not put a mezuzah, both be a min and small, because there's Nisr Baltosif. So a lot of the Achronim say, what do you mean Nisr Baltosif? I'm trying to be Yotze a Safek. Maybe it's not a Nisr Baltosif. It looks muzah. Right, it looks odd, but the question is whether it's baltosif or not. So this may be one key maramakom in that topic. Okay, so now the Gemara discusses another case of tarovus of dam. Let's say the dam apar gets mixed with the dam asayir after you already did the achas lemaila from the dam apar, and you still just didn't do the sheva hazos lemata. So savra papa made the rav lemeimar. So our papa thought to say no sein sheva lemata l'shem par. Do the sheva lamata and have in mind that that should count both for the dama par and the dama sayir, and now all you're missing is the achas lamaila of the sayir, so the chosav nosi not zemal l'shem sayir. Then go do one lamaila l'shem sayir. So I'm like, Rava says to Rav Papa, ad hasha korulan tipshai, vasha tipshai de tipshai. Up until now, the Bnei Yisrael called us fools. Now they're going to call us the most foolish fools in the whole world. Because it's one thing to say something that's off, but then to be corrected and make the same mistake again, that's even worse after you've already been corrected. They told us that you can't do that. That Rabbi Yirmiyah told us previously that you have to finish all of the matnas dam of the par before you do, before you say any of the matnas dam of the sayer. And over here, you're not even within the dam of sayer, you're doing it out of order. You're doing all the matnas dam lamata of the sayer before you do the one matan dam lamaila of the sayer. V'atora omra, and the Torah tells us when it comes to the azos, tein lamaila v'acharkach lamata. Then no, first you're supposed to put the azal lamala and then the hazal lamata. So that can't be correct. Ela amar Rava says, no, what should you do in such a case? No sin sheva lamata l'shem par, v'chazav no sin achas lamala v'shev lamata l'shem sayer. Proceed as normal, meaning you did already one lamaila l'shem par, then the blood got mixed, so do seven lamata, but have in mind that it's only l'shem par, and then do another achas lamaila and sheva lamata, all l'shem sayir. So now the Gemara discusses another case of a taroves. What if it's not the blood that actually physically mixed together, but nisarvelo kosos pekosos? You got confused which kos was which. Meaning you caught the dam of the par in one kos, the dam of the sayer in another kos, and you're not able to identify which kos was which. So we already discussed the blood looks different. The quantity of the blood should be different. Kohen Gadol is really tired. For whatever reason, he can't tell the difference between the dam of par and the dam of sayer. So nosein v'chozer v'nosein v'chozer v'nosein. So then what he does is, by each avoda, he does achas lamaila v'sheva lamata from one, and then from the second achas lamaila v'sheva lamata, then he goes back to the first cup and does another achas lamaila and sheva lamata, because then he's yotzei m'manavshach. If the first cup that he gave from, that he put from, was the dama par and the second was the dama sa'ir, so he's yotzei in the first two tries. If the first one was the dama sa'ir, so ignore his first matnos dam and just assume that he's yotzei with 2 and 3, because 2 was dama par and 3 was the dama sar, so that's keseder, and then he's yotze in that way. And the Gemara says, okay, what about the following case of the taroves? Mixas dam in this avilo. What if some of the dama par and the dama sar got mixed, but mixas dam lo nis avilo? Some of the dam remained pure, was not mixed. So let's say, for example, you had a third cup. You did like a shever bachus with the with the dam. You take some of the dam apart, some of the dam asayir, and you pour a little bit of each into the third cup. But two of the cups still remain their original with their original blood in them. So pshita kiyav mi vadoi in yahiv. So certainly, obviously, when you do the matnas dam, take what you know. Take the dam apart and do achas amal v'shev l'mata first, and then take the dam asayir and do achas amal v'shev l'mata. Miu hanach, but what about the dam that's mixed? How do we view that now? Do we say shirayim havu, that it has a din of shirayim after the zrika sadam, where because it came from the dam originally that was already put on the mizbeach now, uli yisod asli, and therefore as shirayim you pour it into the yisod of the mizbeach like all the other shiari adam, meaning whatever dam didn't get sprinkled that's still left in the cup, you're going to pour into the yisod of the mizbeach. So is this just like that? It's a dam that didn't get sprinkled goes into the yisod of the mizbeach. Or maybe no, maybe we view these as if they are dachui, that they were rotui to be nitan on the mizbech, and they were nidche, because you could no longer, once they were put in the separate coast, you could no longer put from this coast on the mizbech, and therefore they have to be spilled out in the drainage system of the Beis Hamikdash, which doesn't go onto the yisod of the mizbech. Amrav Papa, so Papa is poshet the suffix, afilu leman diyamar, even if you assume, like the Shita that we're going to quote soon, that if you're mekabel dam chatos in two different kosos, but you're mazah the matanos from only one of those kosos, that kos echad osa chaveru shirayim, that second kos becomes shirayim, hanimi leechad yibay lemesav matiyayv. That's only because you could have just as easily used that second kos, because you just happened to have been mekabel in two separate kosos, so you got to choose which one you wanted. So then, the one that you don't choose becomes shirayim. Aval hayd yibay lemesav lo matiyayv lo. But over here, once the dam got mixed in this extra kos, so now I wasn't able to use this extra kos. That's not shirayim, that's worse. That's dachli, that's completely rejected. That I'm going to have to spill out into the amma. So I'm going to refund the bridge of Shulah Papa. Adrama, he says, I'll tell you the opposite svara. That I feel my name kos echarosa chaviru dachli. That maybe even in a classic case where you just catch the dam in two separate kosos, if you hold like the shita, that when you use the dam of one of the kosos, the other one is nidche, the other one has to be spilled out. It has to be spilled in the drainage system. That's because you chose to be docha the second kosos. You had two kosos, each of them were perfectly viable. You could have used whichever one you wanted, and you chose not to use that one. So that's dachui. But when you didn't dafka choose not to use it, you just weren't allowed to use it, because now it's a kos of dama par and dama sari that are mixed together. That wasn't your choice. You're just not allowed to use it. So lo, maybe that's not considered dachui. Maybe that's called shirayim. So where do we have this machla? We refer to afilu leman diyamar, even according to the shita that says in general. Where's the in general? Where's the shita? Where do we have such a machlokas of choosing one kos over the other? Ditanya, we have a brisa that discusses the following about a korban chatos that the dam is supposed to be put on the mizbeach chitzon. So the maila who omer in the previous parsha before the parsha chatos, when it talks about the seir chatos of a nasi, the pasuk says about the pouring out of the shirayim the estomo yishpoch, that you pour out the dam to the yisod of the mizbeach. And when the parsha that talks about the chatos hayachid, it says ves kol dama yishpoch, that you pour the dam to the yisod of the mizbeach. So we darshin minayin the chatos shekibul dama arba kosos v'nasan miza achas umiza achas. Let's say you can mekabel the dam of the chatos in four separate kosos, and you do one matnas dam from each of the kosos on the different karnas of mizbeach. Shekula nishpach liyisod, that the shiyare adam in each of those kosos get poured into the yisod of the mizbeach. Tavlomer ves kol dama yishpoch. So yachla fil nasan arba matanos me achas mehen. So I might think, let's say I take one of these four kosos, I caught the dam in four different kosos, I take one of these four kosos and I do all four matnos dam from one of these kosos, so I might think that the blood of all four kosos gets poured into the yisod as shirayim. Tam lomer ves domo yishpoch. Pasuk says domo yishpoch hu nishpach liyisod vehein nishpach liyama. No, only the remaining blood in that kos that you actually used gets poured on the yisod and mizbech. The rest of it gets drained out of the Beis Hamikdash. Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon omer minayin lechata shekibul domo barba kos. He says, I disagree, and I'll prove to you. How do you know that if you use one of these four kosos and then the others are not used at all, that they're all called shirayim and they all go on the yisod mizbeach? Tamalomar ves kol dama yishpoch. So here you have a machlokas. When I have catch the dam of a korban in four different kosos, I only use one of the kosos, but I could have used whichever one I wanted. I chose to only use one of them. How do I view the dam in the rest of the kosos? So it's a machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, whether you view it as shirayim or whether you view it as that which has to be drained out, that which is nidcha. What does he do with the pasuk v'esdam yishpoch? Amar Rav Ashi lemute shirayim shabetzaver behema. That's coming to be memayit the shiyari adam that's left over in the neck of the animal that was never neskabled b'kli and was not roi to ever be put on the mizbeach. So that doesn't go on the yisod of mizbeach. That has to go into the amma. Ira dam apar l'toch dam esayir. So if we then say you pour some of the dam apar into the dam, all the dam apar into the dam esayir. So tanan command yamar ma'arvin l'kronos. This assumes like the shita that you could mix the blood of the dam apar and the dam esayir for the placement on the karnos of mizbeach. The itmar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yonasan, chadamar ma'arvin, v'chadamar ein ma'arvin. One says you mix the dam before you put on the karnos of mizbeach. The other says you don't. So to stand Rabbi Yosef, damar ma'arvin. Rabbi Yosef must be the one that says you mix it. Damar afgav zlok siv yachtav, kemandach siv yachtav dami. Because when the Torah says two things, but it doesn't say yachtav, we view it as if it's yachtav, as if it all says that it's all supposed to be done together. So says where no, afilu temer Rabbi Yonasan, who we could even assume like shitas Rabbi Yonasan, shayni yachad d'ksiv achas. And even though we don't automatically assume yachtav, but over here it says v'chipar aron al karnosav, achas b'shana midam chatas hakipurim, so we darshan that you put it all at one time. So that's why the pasuk means that you mix the dam apara and the dam asayir in order to then place on the karnos hamizbeach. Okay, Beis Shem, we'll continue that discussion with the Tanya at the bottom of the page tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you very much. Thank you.